A solid foundation. Now, you know, many people can have a rough time in life. You can have things all tangled up, and you can moan and groan and complain what a wicked old world this is. Hey, everybody knows that. What do you do in a case like that? You get stronger than the world. How do you accomplish that? Through wisdom. Well, where does that wisdom come from? Well, it comes from your Father. He guaranteed us that we could overcome in this world. There really are no excuses. Of course, you have to put your priorities in order of what does it mean to overcome. A lot of times people say, boy, that means mucho dinero. That means a lot of money south of the border. You old sailors know that. Anyway, that's not what our highest priority should not be that. Your highest priority should be the wisdom of God, whereby you control your life in an orderly, disciplined manner, and that you do it His way. Therefore, He knows what you have need of, so He adds all those blessings onto your life after you do your work. So, coming out the gate, your life must have a solid foundation. You can't be jumping from here to there. I don't want to use that old cliche. You can't be like Madame Butterfly changing from one flower to another. If somebody, a butterfly lover, wrote me a letter and says, why don't you love butterflies? Well, I do. All right? But being a figure of speech, all right? You've got to be solid. And your solid comes with your understanding of God's Word. And it is so simple. I can really put it down where the rubber meets the road if you want to, me to. Anytime somebody tries to pull you away from common sense, it's a bunch of stuff. All right? You have a bunch of people running around that'll read these, well, isn't this exciting? According to Joe Blow down at El Paso, I mean, the world's going to be destroyed by the you-know-whos as they are raising and coming to power, and we have to hide. You don't have to hide a lot of stuff with us. That's a bunch of malarkey. That's absolutely 180 degrees away from God's instructions. Number one, what are you supposed to be? A witness. Have you ever heard a gopher that was a witness? You know, a gopher digs a hole and crawls in the ground. You don't even see him half the time. What good does he do as far as a witness is concerned? Zip, nada. Totally 180 degrees away from God's plan, and people that do that wonder why they're not blessed. Well, hey, you know, it takes an intelligent person to understand that, you know. This is not to say through the law of survival that we, because of truck strikes and so on and so forth, don't have sufficient food on hand. Otherwise, you know, you're like the grasshopper. Well, it's good today, and you don't have anything for tomorrow. But to make a religion out of it is wrong. Our whole purpose is to be a witness whereby what? The Word of Jesus Christ can go to the world when even it's at its worst calamity, which is not destruction, which is not a fall or a crash. I mean, it's going to be financially, if you're thinking about money, one of the best times you've ever seen. Because the spurious Messiah will come in prosperously and peacefully. But the morals of this world, they will be the only thing that crashes, and you know it by the name of apostasy. And what brings on the apostasy? The prime of that name in the Greek, Apollyon. Who is Apollyon? Abaddon. Who's Abaddon? Satan. All right? The vile one, the son of perdition. There's only one. Don't ever get him confused. He goes by a lot of names to confuse people. So the solidity of your life depends on how you can discipline yourselves to focus on the Word of God and listen to Him. It has always happened His way, And I've got some good news for you. It shall always continue to happen as it's written. And that is wisdom to know what tomorrow brings. I'll give you an example. It made me feel real good that Friday I recorded a message on our hotline. And I said, watch the Kurds. The old trouble, that's where the 8-year war started between the Iranians and the Iraqis. There's just been one chess move made or changed. We've got another player, us. All right? I said, watch it. The barometer there is very high, and boom-o! They moved within less than 12 hours. You know, by knowing Scripture, that is the wisdom from God that gives you the ability to pretty well have a thumbs up on everything that happens. And if you can't beat this world having thumbs up on it, inasmuch as you're supposed to be wiser than the serpent anyway, or at least as wise, and you can't beat him at his own game, come on. Now, let's put some scriptures behind this. How do we know His power? Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 for me. First of all, who is in you? God. Through the Son. He's in you. Well, what can He do? Well, let's check it out. Let's check it out a little bit. Let's see what kind of a foundation you're standing on if you're standing on Him. Let's pick it up, if we may, at the 14th verse. How I love this 40th chapter of Isaiah. Just open your Bibles right in the middle and let them flop open and you'll be in the book of Isaiah. All right? I know you know that. All right? Here I'm talking down to people. Chapter 40, Isaiah, verse 14, and it reads, with whom took He counsel, being Yahweh our Father, and who instructed Him? And taught him in the path of judgment. You know what judgment is? Doing what's right. Making the right decision. And taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding. I like this word understanding, the final on that verse in the Hebrew. It says a little more. It's the word is T-A-B-U-W-N and it's pronounced taboon. It means to have the inside. Now, we use that in street talk quite a bit. If you know, boy, am I on the inside? Or that old boy is really on the inside. Well, if you're in the Father and He's in you, you should be on the inside track. That's called wisdom, and you should know what's going on because He told you. He told you through prophecy. Who instructed him? I hope you know the answer to that. He didn't need any. He didn't need any instruction. Inasmuch as he was the creator of all things, including souls, meaning people, entities, cherubims, the whole smash. He didn't need any instructions. But then he was good enough that he gave instruction to them. That's what this is. And if you discipline yourself in it, that really makes you a disciple. And I'm not saying, again, I want to caution, I'm not saying become a religious fanatic. I don't know any of you that's perfect, and you got to be perfect to, you know, fit that or think you are. And I quite frankly don't like to be around people that think they are perfect. Sometimes I wake up feeling that way, and then when Anna gets through with me, blinding me out for the day, I find out that I was not perfect, that I had a few things around the edge that needed a little adjustment, all right? But here's where wisdom comes from. It's from our Father. And to have the insight or the inside track of what's going on. Hey, it's there for you. How many times have you heard someone say, boy, if I could buy tomorrow's newspaper today, I could be a millionaire. Well, you just about got it right here. Just about got it. and it works. All right? So he didn't need any, and it's important that you know that. He is all wisdom. He is all understanding. He is all knowledge, for all wisdom comes from him. Oh, there's wisdom of the world, and Satan thinks he's pretty sharp, but he's only sharp as far as a shyster goes. To con you. To get into the system. I mean, really get into the system and let him make a slave out of you. Like, 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Have you ever dropped a drop of water in a big old milk bucket? I mean, that's what a nation seems like. You think he's worried about Iraq or Iran or Russia? As far as him having control over them, he's not the least bit worried when the time is right. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. In other words, they don't, a nation, you know what a set of balances is? I'd have had them dug out my show balances. That's scales. A nation is such a small amount of dust that it won't even tip the scales. It's nothing to him. Do you understand the charge of control that he's putting in these words? They wouldn't even work me up a sweat. They're nothing to me. In other words, he can dispatch them if he chooses. You understand? Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. He can change every seacoast if he chose to. That's what the word isles means across, from around the world. 16, now take this on the third level for me. Get down in low gear and listen. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. This is talking about the cedars of Lebanon, the biggest timber in the world. Is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. In other words, they couldn't produce enough of an offering to please God. What would? Himself, Emmanuel, that was enough of offering that it was sufficient, but that's what it took. But at the same time, you could have all those things, and he considers your offering of love from right down in here, genuine, no put on, of saying, Father, I love you. That's sufficient. That is the offering and the sacrifice that he wishes from you. Because that's why he created you. Because he loved you. He created you for his pleasure. And he wants you to give him that pleasure, and he in return will give you pleasure. True love. That's the offering that he genuinely wants. And he showed that love in the fact that he did not feel himself, though he was all wisdom, Emmanuel, God with us, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, he did not think himself too good to pay that price for you, so that when we do fall short on repentance, we're in good standing with him. We're in a place where he can accept our love, and does. That's what he wants, all right? Verse 17, all nations, how many? All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Do you know what that word vanity is in the manuscripts? Tuhu. And I hope if you've ever studied with me, you'll know what tuhu means in the Hebrew. It means chaos, nothing, vanity, empty, kaput. All right? I mean, it has just gone in a basket to you know where. That's what Satan did to it. He said, so if you want to know what stock God puts in nations, even though he loves Jacob, now I don't misunderstand, but as far as being opposition to him, I'm sorry, the law of force by the Kenite when they take it on, as it is written in the 11th chapter of Daniel, to him isn't even a fly. It means nothing. Hey, we're talking about your personal father. He's big. He's good. And he is powerful. What are you afraid of the nations for? I'm just afraid of what tomorrow brings. You are. Why? Well, it's just troubled out there. So what? They don't know what they're doing out there in the world. The nations have no conception. They're doing exactly what your father wants them to do, and you're worried about it. Oh, yes. Well, I can tell you, you're not in your father then. It's all going to blow up. No, it isn't. Because he is not going to blow it up, and Satan can't. And God will not allow anyone to ever destroy this earth with an atomic weapon. It's not going to happen. Well, how do you know? Well, it's written. And it's going to happen the way it's written. So, though the world is shaky, I hope that your foundation is not built on it. Well, we could go down here to the bank and I could show you, boy. No, that doesn't really have anything to do with it, okay? It doesn't have a thing to do with it. It helps. You know, it's necessary, but that's not where the solidity of your life should rest. Should be in Him. Because, do you know something? He owns the world and the heavens. And He's your Father. And you're worried? Wow. Can't understand that. You must be letting the world get to you and not exercising the power that you have in being a child of God. The thought process of being able to overcome, to concentrate, and again to focus on His path and just shut the world out. Beat the daylights out of it. Beat it every time you get a chance. By that I mean you should win 95% of the time if you've done your homework. You really should. The nations are as nothing to Him. Now, I hope you understand where I'm going with this. If the nations are nothing to Him and your foundation is our Father and the Son, you're unshakable. There may be a lot of people try to shake you. There may be a lot of people try to make you sweat. Don't you ever let them make you sweat. Whatever you do, don't you let them see you sweat on your first cruise. We're God's children. It doesn't make us special, but it does give us power. Power of wisdom, knowledge, peace of mind. I don't know why I want to do this, but I feel led to. Personal example for you. Have you ever noticed that when you started to do something, and you are, I mean, that is your bag. That is your thing. You are confident. You have so much self-confidence that you know you can win this particular match. And you know you can do it. What does that do to you in the morning when you're going to go out and do something that you know that you've got the upper hand and you're going to win? Boy, that makes your day good. You know, you step out high like an old mule. You know, when you take him back to the barn at night, you know, he begins to step high and get frisky. You know, you're sure of yourself. Why? If that's the case, and that gives you a good feeling, why don't you enjoy it all the time? Because if anybody should be sure of themselves, it should be you. A child of God on the solid foundation. You're smarter than they are. Strive for it. Go for it. Don't go for the gold. Go for the platinum. Somebody say, I never heard of that one. Well, that's better than gold. Okay? Better stuff. All right? Go for it. Don't settle for what other people would. You're a child of God. You're one of God's elect. All right? I don't know, maybe we'll make a platinum medal. So, no, we won't. We won't. We'll just continue getting God's blessings. There's a reason why God will give power and attention to common sense and those that focus on Him, the authority. Hey, I could give you another example. It's a mean world out there. And everybody's got everything all tied up. Then ask me this, answer me this. If the enemy has everything tied up, why did God open up over 200 television stations in the top markets in this nation to this little old ministry in Gravett, Arkansas? And it's a little enough a place that almost everybody knows everybody, all right? And what they do. He did it. Is that not beating them at their own game? Is that not a good example of it? Of course it is. Who did it? This man? No. This congregation? No. God did it because you were faithful. Because you didn't mind stepping up to bat. And you went for the platinum when you bat. When it was your turn. That's the way you do it. You do it His way. And we'll always win. Hey, it's written, we win. And you can have that peace of mind even now if you accept and truly believe what God says. Do you understand what He just said? This stuff out here doesn't mean a flip to me. The whole thing doesn't make enough dust to even balance my scales. All right? 19, he goes here to 18. To whom then will you liken God? And what likeness will you compare unto Him? Why does God ask this at this point? Because everybody's always trying to start their own religion. Trying to dream up another God, another way. Okay? They can't accept the simplicity and receive His blessings. They think they're smarter than God, who controls everything. That's kind of an humbling thought. Stop and think about it. 19. What do they do? The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. Fix it up pretty. We got the prettiest church in town. Never preach nothing in it, but it's sure a beauty from the outside. If you go there, you'll go to heaven. And if you go somewhere else, you'll probably go to hell. You know, a building won't save you. But they've got to make them a god. And let me tell you something. It's very serious, especially in this generation, because there's a false one coming, all right? And he's got silver chains and gold for everyone. Peaceful entry. Works miracles. Supernatural. 20. He that is so impoverished, you take somebody that is so poor, they're worse off than a church mouse. All right, that's what this word means. My translation. That he hath no oblation, chooseth the tree that will not rot. He at least goes out and gets something hardwood. All right. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image, that's to say to whittle a face on it, and that shall not be moved. Everybody wants to make their own salvation when they got God's Word. He just finishes telling us how powerful He is. And people want to worship sticks and other stuff. Just, you know, we get a new car. And we shine it, and we polish it, and we park it where sometimes people can see it, because we're proud of it, and probably you should be. You have to work hard enough for them today. But don't worship it. Right? Don't worship it. And some of you tie yourself up to such usury that you might as well worship it, because you're going to work your whole life for it. Think about it. Satan works in many ways to make a slave out of you. And if he can have you working for him rather than using your brain, he'll do it. All right? So, 21. Have you not known question? Have you not heard? You should if you've read God's Word. Have it not been told you from the beginning? What beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth, the catapult, the overthrow? Do you not understand the fall of Satan and what he's up to? Do you not understand God's plan in the tuhu from verse 17 and the catapult from this word foundations? Have you not known God told you in the Scriptures that there was an earth age before this one? That's the beginning. And how that you could overcome if you used your head, if you use common sense, if you stay focused. Have you not gained knowledge from that? Then you're in bad shape if you haven't. 22, and then he goes back. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Do you want to oppose God? I hope not. You know what happens to grasshoppers? That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. I can give you an example of that. This word circle, as it is used here, is compass. Have you ever seen a compass? You know, it's got a little sharp point, and then it's kind of a protractor, and there's a pencil out in the other part, and you can make a nice circle with it like this. This is what God told Paul whenever he stopped him in Acts chapter 9. Knocked him down, and Paul was religious. Paul was thought he was serving God. And you know, there are a lot of people in the world today that think they're serving God, but they're not focusing. It's going to be this way. You don't need some poop sheet. I don't know if that's a good word I should have used here, but I used it, all right? From some intelligent person that wants to create a little excitement to draw attention. The sky is falling. The enemy is coming. Hey, I hope you're smart enough to know the enemy's already here. All right? And we stand toe to toe with him and knock him, take names, and kick dragon every day. Right? No problem. No step for a stepper. All right? So please don't. You don't need the encouragement of some doomsdayer, even though he may have good intentions. The world will come to an end, this age, the way it's written and no other way. The time it stated it will and no other way. And you possess that in your hand. Absorb it, all right? But let's go to the deeper level of the saying in the Greek when Christ told Paul, stop kicking against the pricks. All right? The deeper level is this to you. You see, that little metal sharp point on a circle, the compass, is called the prick. And it's a goad. And like, you know, also on the first level for those that would not want to go to the deeper, he's kind of asked talking like, you know, if you had a goad is a nail on the end of a stick, and if you're a cattleman, you goose them with it, all right? And it stings, and they jump, and they go, all right? That's, you know, it's just a little prodder. Well, that's what it means also on the first level. But it also means balance is what God was talking to Paul. He said, hey, Paul, I've got a circle up here, a compass, and I've got the plan all figured out exactly the way I want it. Why are you kicking the base point that keeps everything going as it should? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the deeper level. That's what God was telling Paul. You're trying to mess up my works. You're a chosen vessel and you're supposed to know better than that. Get back into my Word. You don't know everything that you think you know. You've studied under the smartest man in the world and you're still stupid, Paul. Paul, you don't know nothing. He blinded him and old Paul humbled himself and got to the Word. A virgin shall conceive and a babe shall be born in Bethlehem. Paul says, my word, it happened. You know, and Paul finally comes to the party. This is happening a lot today, that people are coming to the party a little bit late. And they get down there where God has a perfect plan and He's drawing that circle. And of course, it means a lot more than that in depth. It means the circle of the whole creation, the stars, the moon, the orbits of the earth. But they're kicking at it, trying to upset the foundation. Don't do that in your life. That angers our Father. All right? Okay. Shouldn't have taken that much time on that probably, but I think it's a very important point that our Father created all things. And He says, I'm in control. Don't mess up my circle. All right? So don't. 23. That bringeth the princes to nothing. The greatest world rulers. I can snap my fingers and they're gone. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. They don't know anything. As nothing. And I know what some are going to say. Well, if you ever get in one of those courts, if you ever let one of those judges get a hold of you, it won't be as nothing. Think. You may have in the past, but now you're wise. You're wise. Now, don't get in the courts. All right? Make the government protect your rights to serve God. Be wiser than they are. When you see a situation rising where you're going to end up there, scotch it. Or at least be wise enough to have the upper hand. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The judges of this earth, as it's written in Romans 13, have to protect us. If we use this, right? I'm not talking down at anybody. I don't know anybody's past history of how they've been involved or anything. I'm just saying what a future it is when you get smart. All right? Verse 24. Yea, they shall not be planted. In other words, they're not going to last long. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. They don't amount to a hill of beans. Now, stop and think about it a minute. In your life, if you can't be smarter than something that God thinks as little of as stubble, you're not very smart. And that means you haven't got into the Word, because the Word is just common sense. When you see trouble coming, go around it, over it, or through it. Take care of it. Nip it in the bud. Don't let it build. Okay? 25. To whom then will ye liken me, our Father speaking? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? No one can compare to our Father. That's why He's so solid. When He says, we're going to win, that's exactly what He means. So when Satan tries to slip through your back door and slither into your home, and he nudges the husband and he says, that old lady of yours has got on the ugliest pair of shoes I believe I ever saw in my life. If you were any man at all, you would correct her about that. And you would say, honey, if not for your sake, for my sake, for God's sake, get rid of those shoes. They look ugly. And it's hot and bothersome and he pops out before he thinks. That's Satan trying. And he says, honey, those shoes are the ugliest things I've ever seen on a person's feet. why don't you do something about it? And about that time, it's hot, and he has insulted his darling, and she plants one of those shoes. You know. See, Satan can do that to your family. I hope you understand what I'm meaning. It may be the way you open the toothpaste or the way you squeeze it. It may be the way you don't roll the toilet paper back up if you hit that sucker and it just, you know. It can be a lot of things, you know. And you'll let Satan come in and cause trouble between you and your darling. Don't fall for it, all right? Especially in hot weather. 26. Lift up your eyes on high. I mean, really, look a little higher, okay? And behold, who hath created these things? Think about it, beloved. That bringeth out their host by number. We're talking about the stars here. Do it sometime. Look up. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He's got them exactly where he wants them. He calls them by name. You are likened unto the stars and called stars by him in certain places. Do you think he doesn't know you? Do you think he doesn't know how Satan works you and how you react, how smart you are? You know? He knows whether you crumble to Satan or not, or whether you got a little bit of stuff up here. So be careful, all right? He's big. He's powerful. And he's wonderful. 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? What this really says in Hebrew, God isn't really fair, and my judgment kind of passes over. Oh, he's fair. You're just messed up if that's the case. Go back to base one and start refiguring. It'll all work out, all right? And you'll win. 27. Why say, oh, I'm sorry, we got that. 28. Hast thou not known? Oh, I love this word. This is Yada in the Hebrew. And it's pronounced Yada. Right? Known. It's important that you know, that you understand his word, his kindness, his power, his goodness, and his love for you, and his touch that he guides you with and protects you and gives you power over your enemies. Yada! Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Well, if you've never been taught, you probably haven't, if you haven't learned for yourself, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. Do you think your God gets tired? No way. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. No one can expect to ask him something he cannot answer. He knows. He's your father. He never gets tired. He must not have heard me. I guess he's tired tonight. Don't be dumb. Okay? Yada! Know! Learn! Gain wisdom. 29. He giveth power to the faint. Do you ever feel faint? And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He takes the weak. But you got to ask him. He's not going to do it without you asking him. You're over there suffering. I don't know what to do. What will I do? Let me get this set of books and this set of books and that. Why don't you ask him? Ask him to take over. And you know what he's going to say to you? Well, hey, he'll say, son or sweetheart, I don't want to talk down to you, but here you are all tied up and worried and weak. And I told you about it in the book of Revelation. I told you about it in the book of Chronicles through my trustworthy Paul. You really don't have much of an excuse. So get in Chronicles. Get in Paul. Get into Revelation, the unveiling. Get into the Gospels, where every example was set forth. Into the Old Testament, the laws of agriculture. Do it right and be blessed. Okay? It's there, see? And that's when you think, oh my, why didn't I see that? Well, I don't know why we don't see it. Go to Him when you've done everything you can, and He'll touch you. He'll lift you. He'll bless you. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Have you ever seen a little old youth? I mean, you wonder, where in the world did they get their energy from? And they're just zip, zap, zip, zap. I mean, they wear themselves out until they just fall over and they're asleep, you know? Right? Even they get weak. God don't. All right? In the flesh, even in the youth, you faint, but God doesn't. And the young man shall utterly fall. By himself he will. 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Life's problems gone, past. And spiritually, that's your family. That's you. I don't know, that's your rock or you own it. That's the question. I want to turn over to, real quickly to Jeremiah. Oh, I got lots of time. I got another 15 minutes here. I can do a lot in 15 minutes. In this 10th chapter of Jeremiah, remember this is where the Christmas tree people always go to and say, boy, you better not put no Christmas tree in your house because God says right here, they go out and they cut it and they bring it in and they deck it and they put the little tinsels on it. Well, he really wasn't talking about a Christmas tree, all right? He was talking about people making idols just as he was in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, all right? God himself likens us to trees and God says, I am a great fir tree, meaning evergreen, ever-living. It's don't let Satan rob you of what God stands for, eternal life, all right? Verse 10 of chapter 10, great book of Jeremiah, and it reads, but the Lord is the true God, not some tree. He is the living God and an everlasting king. Does that mean he ran out of gas? Do you know what everlasting means? That means today, now. It means yesterday. It also means tomorrow, and it'll mean the day after that. Everlasting. He's in charge. Are you in Him? That's the question. At His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide His indignation. It's coming. But He's not mad at you. Is He? I don't know. You have to answer that. I don't think so. Not if you try. He's certainly not. And you know what? Quite the contrary. He loves you. He might even be able to use you if you're sharp enough. All right? Well, how do I get sharp enough? Using common sense and His Word. All right? Anyone can gain that. A child can. 11. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth, and from under these heavens, that means Satan in Jerusalem, not one stone shall be left standing. That the son of perdition has already... Do you know what the word perdition means? It's the bay prime root is perish. He's gone. So whatever you do, don't get in his wagon. You know where it's headed. By that I mean any spurious Messiah and flyaway doctrine, beware. It's a false religion. And it will catch you up. And you will be deceived. A little wisdom. And follow your father's plan, not church social programs. If it isn't written, it's not so. He hath made the earth by His power. Whose power? His. He hath established the world by His wisdom. And has stretched out the heavens by His discretion. That discretion is really something. His perfect plan. Nothing by accident, my friend. That's why you shouldn't have any surprises. When He uttereth His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. There is so much in that, that when he caused the firmament to fall at the katabo, the overthrow, that the jet stream came into being. And rather than having buttercups growing at the North Pole and the South and habitable life around this whole world, the most beautiful place, then storms came into being. There's a lot in that. Different time, different study. 14. Every man is brutish. That's what you are in yourself. What he's saying is you're foolish in his knowledge. That's why you better sop up some of God's knowledge, or you're going to get it wrong. Now listen, I don't know how many of you have ever done anything wrong. All of us have at one time or the other, and you start, if you could reach, you know, if your legs were long enough, you'd kick yourself, you know, for some of the dumb things we do at times, you know. Well, learn his knowledge and don't mess your spiritual life up, all right? Don't listen to some man as to how this end is coming. Listen to your Father. He's the one that holds the pencil, all right? And I'm talking about the pencil to the compass, the plan. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder, that's to say goldsmith or artifactor, is confounded by the graven image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They're good for nothing. Come on, honey, let's go. Oh, wait, whoa, whoa, wait, I forgot my good luck piece. Come on. Don't get into that stuff. If you have God, you don't need anything else. And certainly don't get mixed up in mysticism. Do you know what I say when I'm... And I don't want to set myself up as a perfect example. For God's sakes, don't use me as an example. But I just want to share some of the things that I truly believe. Okay? If I'm driving down the road, you know, sometimes you can be riding with a guy and here this pretty little old black cat comes hippity-hopping out across the road, and he gets up and he honks and he screeches and he tries to run over that cat. You know, and if that cat crosses in front of him, his countenance falls and woe is him. Yeah. Well, why not say, hot ziggity, I've got 7 years good luck coming. You know, really? What's the difference? Right? There's a big difference. Because this clown is going to worry himself into a stupor and really mess up. And what am I going to do? Probably the same thing, but I'll do it happy. All right? You know, all right? And repent and turn my way and get back on track. Do you understand what I mean? Everything is good for you. Not bad. Well, oh boy. That's a wide open statement, isn't it? Some things are bad for you, but I mean, it's good luck for you in this sort of thing. Don't get mixed up in mysticism. That's a loophole to get you into a religion of really fake and falseness, all right? It really is, you know. Pretty soon you'd be believing in witches. And there was a guy told me, he said, well, I sure believe in witches. And I said, well, what makes you think that? He said, well, I'm married to one. But don't get mixed up in mystics, all right? It's a bunch of malarkey. Doesn't exist. Are there demonic spirits? Yes, tromp on them. You have the power to do it. Where were we? Let's see, here we go, I think. Somebody tell me, what verse were we on? 15? Okay. 15. They are vanity and the work of eras. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. There it goes again. I wanted a second witness for you. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. What's Jacob's portion? It's God. God is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. It is the Lord of hosts that is our Father. And we are the inheritors of His gift, his power, his wealth. A double witness. Satan will lead you down Primrose Lane every time he gets a chance, and how a lot of people like to allow him. Now, I just want to talk for a minute about Scripture to cover a little bit of time here. He said to know, and he said all men are brutish. That means just a wee bit on the foolish side. And Paul was smart enough. Oh, heck, it won't take but a minute. Bless his heart. Paul, we can't leave Paul out of this. Go to the New Testament real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Where he used the reverse track on people. Sometimes to get their attention, you have to do that. All right? And he went the opposite track of wisdom and say, hey, I want to play the fool for a minute. Will you bear with me? Well, most people will. You know, they will. But in the 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, slipperiness, beguiled is expatio in the Greek, and it means wholly seduced. Don't ever let anyone tell you otherwise. Of your minds should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. And it's always simple. And then he tells you point blank in verse 14. He said, you get some sharp preacher come along and you'll swallow up everything he says. And he said, hey, I may be a little crude in speech, but I'm just as intelligent as they are from God's Word, if not more so. And he says, and no marvel, in verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That means he comes, that word transformed is wrong. I'm sorry, it's disguised. He's disguised as an angel of light, but he's still his same old perdition, son of perdition, meaning to perish. He's going to die. But he's coming to fool a bunch of people. Paul uses the reverse of wisdom here and said, I want to use a little folly with you. And he would say that again. I think it's in the 16th verse, if my memory doesn't fail me. Well, what do you know? There it is. For I say again, lo, no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me that I may boast myself a little. He says, I know this word. I may not be as eloquent as they are, but I don't take a hind seat to nobody, anyone, on God's Word. He said, it's going to happen. Satan is coming to deceive the world. Thing is, which rock are you on? Their rock is not of our rock. And to conclude, I want to take you to one more place, and I'm going to let you go. Matthew, the great book of Matthew, the Gospel, let's let Christ teach us. Matthew chapter 7, and I need to pick up with verse. I'll get a verse here in a moment. Now listen to me. Christ is going to return, you bet. We're going to gather back to Him. Not in a spiritual body, that means air, pneuma. Right? Not out in space, but right here, in a spiritual body. And there are some people that will have thought they were doing right. You know what He tells them? Verse 22 of chapter 7. I'm sorry, 21. Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth, now don't ever forget that. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. A real Christian is a doer. Okay? Oh yes, brother, I'm a holy Joe and I believe. Well, what have you done for God lately? Well, nothing, but I love Him. Oh, you do? Well, let me ask you a few questions about God's Word here. What do you know about His plan and instructions? I don't have to know anything. Just believe. Believe in what? This is the Word you're supposed to believe in, and if you're ignorant concerning it, you got trouble. All right? He said, they're not getting in. 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? We played church. And in Thy name is cast out devils. Oh, we had rather one of them regular old stomping around the church and get them demons out of here. Got them out. Yeah. Oh. And in Thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. That's what he would have had to have said to Paul before his conversion. But Paul was chosen, as it's written in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Chosen vessel. One of God's elect. All right? Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings, now there's part of it. What is it? What's that word? Heareth. All right? Sayings of mine, and what? Doeth them. Ooh, there's that other word again. You got to do them. Okay. Be a doer, can-do type person. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I bet all of you knew I was going to end up here, didn't you? When I talked about it. Hey, I'll tell you what. Always build on a solid foundation. 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. That's Satan, all right? And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, I don't know how many. You can build a mansion. I mean, put out great big bucks. Let's make it brick. If it doesn't have a good foundation, in less than a year, you're going to have cracks going down the walls of that sucker that you could stick a cat through. Well, maybe not quite that wide. I mean, it's going to fall apart on you before you even get it paid for. Long time before you get it paid for. And in religion, a lot of people go out here 50 feet off the ground and start building with no foundation. Absolutely no foundation whatsoever. The evolutionists do it. The evolutionists will say, well, it is a known fact that from amoeba of the water began life. And it continued on growing and adding to until we come to where we are today. Well, prove it to me. Well, everybody knows that. It's taught in every university. I don't care how many universities it's taught in. Prove it to me. If it's everlasting, if it is a fact, you can show me evidence either in the past, present, and then maybe I can believe the future with you that it's a fact and it won't fly, friend. And yet intelligent people supposedly believe that junk. Now anyone with any intelligence at all know that for evolution to be a fact, it's got to be a non-ending process. You got to have all stages of them. Yeah, there's my brother Henry. He's half ape. You can tell by looking at him. Coming right along, Henry. Doing good, boy. That's what they'd have you think, you know. Whew. They say, well, science knows. Science won't document it for them. No way. Science documents that this earth is millions of years old, correctly so, from the Word of God. So build on the foundation and, hey, go to the master builder and build on him. Otherwise, this is what you get. 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Well, there's both of those words again. Hear and do. Do not. Do you? If you do not, what happens? Do not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Ooh, there's that word opposite of wisdom. Which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. It's all over, friend. I don't know. It's your life. It's your soul. I can promise you one thing. He is your Father. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be a hearer only, or are you going to be a hearer and a doer? A doer plants seeds. Different people have different gifts. Some people, simply their own faith within them is so strong that just for someone to be around that person, if they never open their mouth, they're a blessing. Because it's catching. It's a blessing. All kinds of gifts. But never forget this. I mean, there is a air of anxiety among peoples that say, well, I need to be doing something. Now, wait a minute. What have we talked about for almost an hour? Getting close. Maybe more. I don't know. But what have we been talking about? Do it His way. Well, what does He say our main drive is? Mark 13, after the Antichrist appears, we're going to be delivered up, and you're going to teach the world. Not you, but the Holy Spirit speaking through you. What more could you ask for? Can't you patiently wait on the Lord? And at the same time, be a doer in planting little seeds? Hey, it's not time to set the dragon's tail on fire yet. All right? So don't get antsy. Relax. Be disciplined. In His Word, your day is coming. Just make sure that some broom tail doesn't pull you off the trail or the path by taking your focus away from God's Word. Father, we thank You for the written Word. Thank You, Father, for Your advice, Your counsel. For we know indeed all wisdom comes from You. Use these, Father, in Thy service. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.